Father, this is your time. We are your children. Talk to us, oh Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Charles Dickens wrote a book entitled Tale of Two Cities. In the opening statement of that book, he says something like this. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We have everything before us. We have nothing before us. We're all going direct to heaven. We're all going direct the other way. Very interesting how this author described the situation that was happening in his days. Allow me to say that these words are basically the same thing that we are seeing today and the world that we are living. I mean, think about it. Every week, we see how our world is collapsing right in front of our eyes. Every week, we see how the news are just going from bad to worse. Every day, we look on how the values and principles of the society are disappearing right in front of us. All we hear and talk about nowadays is mass shooting, child abuse, domestic violence, racial discrimination, abuse of power, lack of responsibility and commitment from our leaders. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are living in difficult times right now. The world is a very good, difficult place to be. But allow me to say that what we are seeing in this world is also affecting and reflecting in our homes, our family, and please don't kill me, but also in our churches. When we look at some of our churches, we notice that some members don't want to get along. They don't want to talk to each other. And when someone has a different opinion, they get upset to the point that they don't even want to see that person. So in times like this, brothers and sisters, in times like this, so confusing, in the midst of such difficulties, what can we do? What can we do? That is probably one of the questions that we ask ourselves. What can we do in times like this? But I would like to challenge us today to think a little different. I believe that the question that we need to ask ourselves is this one. In times like this, what can I do? Because it seems to me that when we say, what can we do? It seems that the responsibility has to fall on somebody else. It's not on me. But what can I do? It's a statement that makes us think about and pray about and my responsibility as a Christian. What can I do? We often talk about that we need a revival, that we need to do some changes around here, around the church, that we need to do this and we need to do that. People always complain about how the church is leading and how the church is working and complaining about this, complaining about that. There is always something. I never heard anyone saying, you know what, Pastor, the problem of this church is me. I am the problem. I often hear members saying, the problem that we have in this church, the problem that I see here. Never heard somebody saying to me, Pastor, the problem is me. I am the problem. We often say people saying that we need a revival. But let me say, brothers and sisters, to you this morning that the revival needs to start with me. Right? We say often, we need a revival. We need to pray more. We need to study God's word more. We need to do more outreach, and we need to do this, and we don't do it enough. The question is, what are you doing? Is that revival starting with you? Are you praying? Are you reading the Bible? What can I do in times like this? Allow me to go back, please, for a few moments to the book of Timothy, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says something very clear to us, very important. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 says this. You must understand that in the last days, there will come times of much trouble. You must understand that in the last days, there will come times of much trouble. I like how the verse starts. You must understand. It doesn't say that the church needs to understand, that the leaders need to understand, that the conference needs to understand, that the union needs to understand, that the NAD needs to understand, or that the general conference needs to understand. It says you must understand. It's talking about us. See, I believe that the Bible is very personal. Won't you agree with me? That is okay if you don't want to agree with me. That is okay. I will not get upset at you. But I really believe that the Bible is personal. It's very personal. I believe that the Bible is a letter of love from God to me. To me. I don't like the idea of just pointing fingers at people and saying, you're doing this or you're doing that. I believe that when I read the Bible is for me. God is talking to me. So when I read this, you must understand. The Bible is telling me something. You must understand that in the last days, there will come times of much trouble. What do we need to understand? What do we need to understand? First of all, we need to understand that we are living in the last days. We can see that happening right in front of us. If you study the Word of God, if you study prophecy, you will understand that this is it. For long, we have preached about and teach about that Jesus is coming soon. You believe that Jesus is coming soon? Amen. I believe that Jesus is coming soon, and we are seeing right now. So years ago, we're still using the same message that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. But now, we can see that we are right in the middle of it. We are right there in the last days of this world. So whatever we do, we need to do it with the understanding that we are living in the last days. You see what I'm saying? Some people think that because we are living in the last days, we need to go to different places. We need to go to caves and mountains and separate ourselves from everybody else. We need to hide ourselves because Jesus is coming, and we must be ready when Jesus comes. I don't believe that is true. I believe that Jesus will come. It doesn't matter where we are. You can be in the city. You can be in the countryside. We can be anywhere. Well, Jesus will come anyhow, right? The question is, while we wait for Jesus to come, what are we to do? What are we doing? How are we supposed to act? So everything that we do nowadays, we must do it with the understanding that we are in the last days and Jesus is coming soon. So yes, you want to get a house? Yes, go ahead, get a house. Buy a house. Buy a new car. But do it with the understanding that Jesus is coming soon. We need to put our minds and thoughts into it. Jesus is coming very soon. So that's the first thing that we need to understand. He's coming. We are in the last days. We can see what is going on right in front of us. We cannot waste our time. We need to get right with God. I love what Ellen G. White says, that if you are right with God today, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. If you are waiting for God today, you will be ready for him tomorrow. The idea is that some of us think that you know, I have an extra day. I can do it tomorrow. I cannot worry about today, but tomorrow. I get things right tomorrow. I will find a way to be better tomorrow. I will be nice to my wife or to my husband tomorrow. But no. You need to understand that today is the time. Today is the day to change our behaviors and attitudes. We cannot wait. We have to do it today. So when we talk about revival, when we talk about do things differently in our church, we need to start doing that today. Because in the time that we are living are the last days. So we must start today. We must understand that. I also want you to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. Talk about the last days. Talk about how we need to live in these days that we are. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17. And it reads, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Allow me to read that again. This is just powerful. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." The question is how we are living. How we are living in these last days. Are we living as people who doesn't have knowledge? And the Bible says wise. It talks about those who doesn't know God. When the Bible says that you should not live as unwise, it's talking about those people who don't have a relationship with God. Also, the Bible is talking about those people, the Bible calls it unwise, those who has an understanding of God, those who come to church, but they don't really live for God. Allow me to say, brothers and sisters, just because we are in the church, that doesn't mean that we are in God. Amen. Just because we are in the building, that doesn't mean that we are in the body of Christ. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Brothers and sisters, do you know that we have the opportunity every single day to have a powerful to be a powerful influence in the lives of somebody? Do we realize that? The power that we have? If we understand that every day we have the opportunity to say something nice to somebody, maybe at work, at school, everywhere we go, in the neighborhoods, we have an opportunity to say something nice to somebody. To talk about God. And I love the fact that we can talk about God. But when I think about talking about God, I'm not just talking about that we need to preach in public, come here in the pulpit and speak the word. I'm talking about the way we live. Lead by example. We have an opportunity, brothers and sisters, every single day to make the most of every opportunity that we have. When we come to see people and talk to them, have you wondered how sometimes we meet somebody and we feel like we want to say something about God, about the salvation, about the Jesus is coming again, about our church, about our message. But sometimes we are afraid and we want to say something, but it seems like, I'm not sure, I want to, but at the same time, it's like, oh, man. And then when that person is gone, it's like, man, should have said something. We just lose that opportunity. It's lost. Every single day, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to make a difference. Every single day. And it starts at home. With our children, with our wives, sons, our daughters. Every single day. When was the last time that we said to our wife, "I love you"? I don't say anything, but I know. Sometimes we just take it for granted. Well, she knows that I love her. I don't need to say it. And we spend days and months and years, and we don't even remember when was the last time that we said to our wife or to our husband, "I love you." When was the last time that we called our children or sons and daughters and we said something nice to them? We don't need to wait for them to mess up. But we want to just say something nice to them. We have a wonderful opportunity, brothers and sisters, to make a difference every single day. And it starts at home. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. The days are evil, brothers and sisters. And we must choose our time wisely. Allow me to share with you one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. It reads, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I love the Bible, don't you? How clear it is, how powerful it is, but yet at the same time, it's so practical to us. Listen to this. Let us think of ways to motivate one to another. When was the last time that we said something that encouraged one of our brothers and sisters in church? When was the last time that we saw something was not right? We saw somebody crying and we saw something was not quite looking okay. And we just talked to that person and said, "You know what, brother, sister, I want to pray for you." But don't just tell them that you want to pray. Actually do it. Pray. Because sometimes we just say, "Brother, sister, I know that you're going through some things, but we'll pray for you." And it seems to me that it's an easy way to let that person go. You know what? Just go. We'll pray for you. But when you take the time and actually listen to that person, and you say, "You know what? I'm going to pray for you right now." You are giving an encouragement to that person. You are motivating that person. So let us think of ways to motivate one another. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. Not let us. The Bible is also saying, let us find out who is doing wrong, who is doing what, so we can bring it to the board and to the elders and to the pastors, and we can take and do some kind of crazy stuff. Maybe it doesn't happen in this church, but I know some people, some places where there are FBI agents in the church. That's how they act. They just seeing and looking around, see who's doing what, who's doing wrong, so can bring them right in front of the pastors and the board. But the Bible is clear. And the Bible says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Listen, brothers and sisters, the world out there is terrible. We don't need any more people, any more mean people. We need to be nice to each other. In times like these, we need to be nice to each other. We need to pray for each other. And the Bible keeps saying, let us not neglect our meetings together. It's important to come together and worship God. We are not here because it's good to be here, brothers and sisters. We are here because we are worshiping God. And we might get used to it, the idea of worshiping together, because what? When we get to heaven, we're all going to worship together. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we need to get used to this practice of coming together and meeting together and talk to each other and have fellowship meal and all that stuff. It's just wonderful stuff. I believe that earth is a practice of the things that we are going to do in heaven, especially in church. I love the fact that when we have, I have three churches. I love that fact that I have three churches. They're growing by the grace of God. I have a Hispanic church. I have a multicultural church. Well, most of our brothers and sisters are from the Caribbean islands, like Jamaica and some of the islands. So we have a mix there. And then I have another multicultural church in Troy. Wonderful people, great people. And all my three churches are different from each other. Different cultures, different background, different way of thinking. But you know what? I praise the name of the Lord for that. Because I'm getting ready for heaven. Allow me to say that again. I'm just getting ready to go to heaven. Because the last time I checked, the Bible said that in heaven, we will have people from different places and everywhere with different cultures. Is that wonderful or what? So we need to practice here the way that we are going to live there. How we are getting along with our brothers and sisters. Times like this, we need to speak about love and compassion and kindness. Ellen G. White says, in Review of Herald, November 24, 1904, she says this, "Time of trouble, which is to increase until the end, is very near at hand. We have no time to lose. The world is moved with the spirit of war. The prophecies have almost reached their final fulfillment." I like the part when she says, we don't have time to lose. Brothers and sisters, in times like this, we cannot waste our time. We don't have the time to lose. The Bible is clear. Energy-wise, is clear on how we must pay attention to the time in which we are living. But it's also very clear to us that we need to know how to live in times like this. We need to pay attention to the times we are living. But we also need to learn how to live in times like this. We are teaching and preaching that Jesus is coming. We don't know when he's coming. We just know that he's coming. Because we know in the Bible, it says that he's coming. And we see in the world, and the signs are there. It's real. Jesus is coming. And if you don't really want to think about it, I want you to do something very interesting. I want you to think about this world right now. The things that we are seeing. Most likely, everything will increase. Everything that is going on now is going to multiply. Don't you think that something is about to happen? If the world continues the way it is, it just makes sense that something great is about to happen. I'm so glad to know that we have a hope and we have understanding that Jesus is coming soon. So when things are getting worse and worse, we know that one day things will get better because Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. So we teach and preach about Jesus. We know what the Bible says. Now, for some of us might say, well, Pastor, I believe that Jesus is taking too long. We're just waiting. We have been preaching about this message for a while now, and he's not here yet. Allow me to ask you something. It could be, maybe, that there's something for us to learn while we wait for Jesus' return. If there is something for us to learn in this waiting aspect, in this waiting moment, just before Jesus comes, can we learn anything in times like this? So allow me to suggest, brothers and sisters, that yes, God wants us to learn something in times like this. Let me ask you something. Have you learned to trust God in times of trouble? Have you learned to trust God when it seems that there's no way out? In times like this, we need to ask ourselves, what I have learned? Have you learned how to be humble while you wait for Jesus? While we're waiting, have you learned how to be humble? Have you learned how to praise God and remember God in good times, but also in the bad times? I believe, brothers and sisters, that time has come for us to pray more and to study more. Don't you agree with me? The time has come for us to pray more, study more, and talk less. We do the opposite. We talk a lot, and we don't pray enough. So the time has come for us to pray more and study more. The time has come for us to realize that as the Christians that we are, we are called to reflect Jesus' character on this earth. As a Christian, all of us who are here are called to reflect Jesus' character on this world. That means that we have a spiritual responsibility, brothers and sisters, to lead people to the kingdom of God. That's what we're here. That's why God calls us from the darkness to the light. And we have a spiritual responsibility to lead people to the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. To lead people to the kingdom of God. To lead people to the kingdom of God. By our teaching, by our preaching, by the way we live, by our lifestyle, how we do it, how we talk, how we love. We are here to lead people to the kingdom of God. But because we are Christians and we are called by Jesus to reflect his character on this world, we also need to understand that we have a responsibility with our community. As a Christian, there we are, have a responsibility in our communities. We are Christian leaders, all of us, brothers and sisters. We are Christian leaders, and we are to lead by example. I don't know about you, but there are some things happening around us that we cannot be silent about. As a Christian that we are. Because we follow Jesus, we need to say something about some of the things that are going on around us. We cannot be silent about it. So there is time for us. And the time has come for us to speak up against social injustice. To speak up against racial discrimination. To speak up against child abuse and domestic violence. We have to do something about it. I love when you go to the city, to New York City, there's a sign that says that if you see something, say something. But I believe that as a Christian, we need to do more than that. If you see something, we must do something. We must do something. So the time has come, brothers and sisters, for us to preach about judgment, but at the same time, to preach about God's grace. To preach about condemnation, but at the same time, to preach about salvation. When we accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, we are committed ourselves to be just like him. When you say, I follow Jesus, I want to be like Jesus, you are saying, I want to be just like him. So we are called to serve, to care, and to love. The time has come for us, brothers and sisters, to stand up where others are failing. The time has come for us, brothers and sisters, to do something. When others are just talking about it, we have to do something. The time has come for us to have faith when others have fear. The time has come for us to proclaim unity in the midst of division. The time has come for us to understand that it's okay for us to have different opinions. Because there's some people who get upset when people think differently. And they hate on each other. They don't like each other. We need to understand that it is okay when we have disagreement. We don't need to hate on each other for that. We need to love each other. It is easy to hate somebody when they don't agree with you. You know how hard it is to love somebody who doesn't agree with you? That is a hard thing to do. Times like these, we need to love people. It doesn't matter how they talk to us and what they think. We must love people. They are sons and daughters of God. We know we must love them. The time has come for us, brothers and sisters, to be the light of this world in the midst of the darkness. The time has come for us, brothers and sisters, to replace sadness for joy, despair for hope. The time has come for us to replace our plans for God's plan. The time has come for us to teach our children to love our neighbors, to pray for our enemy, to reach our community, to be friends with the friendless. The time has come for us to protect our family, to keep our values, to retain our faith. The time has come, brothers and sisters, that we are called to serve and to care. The time has come to understand that the mission of the church is still the same. Our mission as a church is still the same. And we are here to love people, to care for them. And we are here to let them know that there's still hope in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that there's still hope in the name of Jesus? Yeah, it seems the world is crazy. Things are going from bad to worse. But we need to understand, we need to realize, all of us need to realize that there is still hope in the name of Jesus. In times like this, we must understand that there's still hope in the name of Jesus. I want you to think about this. In times like this, we need to ask Jesus not only to be with us, but to be in us. Times like this, we need to ask our Jesus not only to be with us, but to be in us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming very soon, and we need to be ready. I need to be ready today, not tomorrow, not in a couple of weeks, not next year, today. Times like this, I need to be ready. I want to be ready because I really believe that Jesus is coming and he's coming very soon. Let's make the best of every opportunity that we have to let our brothers and sisters know, our friends know, our family members know that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. And times like this, when things are going crazy, when things seem to be so dark and so confused, all of us who are called the light of the world, we need to stand up for Jesus. I pray that all of us have the mindset and the idea and the happiness and the joy that Jesus is coming soon. And we must be ready to see our Savior and King. God bless everybody. Now, Father, we ask that your love, the compassion of the Son, and the protection of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.